God bless you. Please be seated, my friends. Beautifully read, yeah. Why don't we just look to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that your word is life to us, quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd enliven our hearts through your word today. Lord, make us more determined to serve you. Let our affections toward you increase. Let our hearts be warmed by your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Baptized into the name, we pray in the name. This is how I've entitled my message when it comes up. Baptism in the name. So we're baptized not only in the authority of his name, because his name is the authority, but we are mysteriously and literally baptized into his very person, his very likeness. And the name, of course, is in a Jewish kind of tradition, is the unspeakable name of God. You don't mention his name, you just call him the name. And when we read the name, we need to think beyond the pictures in our children's books about Jesus with lambs, look beyond all the names of Christ that are in the scripture, and think about the unspeakable beauty of his very presence. Amen? It's an interesting thing to me about baptism. Sometimes I think we ask the wrong question. We ask, if you would like to be baptized, would you like to be baptized? The better question, and I hope this will become clear over the next 20 minutes, is, are you willing to be baptized? Our Western way has kind of made everything a personal option depending on how we would like life to work out for us. But actually the objective is that our lives are found in him and we transition from self to the likeness of Jesus and therefore to everybody else around us. And so this is a wonderful piece of scripture because it speaks about these very things. I think Virginia can just correct me for my dates, but I think it was probably the beginning of 1981. Was that when we were baptized, dear? 1980, we were baptized, yeah. After many years of not following the Lord, having been brought up in the church, but many years of not going anywhere much in life. But then we got baptized. But the thing was that I still remember today, and I think particularly for Virginia, and she'll nod at me if I'm right, and she'll tell me off if I'm wrong, that's how it works, that there was a nervousness about it. You know, I sort of held off for a while too, because I was, but like many people ask, I say, well, I'm not ready. And when Jeremy brought this through last week, I'm not ready. Well, I know what we're not ready for. We're not ready for the unknown challenge of what it means to cross a river. And so often it's maybe a little fear of losing our autonomy. I have to say at the outset, and I would be not true to the gospel if I didn't declare to you that when we get saved, come to Jesus, we are to be baptized, but we must realize that we are giving up our autonomy. I am an autonomous being and I make decisions. But we're giving our lives over to the work of Jesus Christ. And we have to grow in that. We have to fight the battles to become true to that. Is that true? But nevertheless, that's the reality. It's not just that I might live a better life now. It's that I might be better fitted for heaven, for one thing, but I might become more useful to the work of the Lord today. And it takes a while to grasp this, because the big movement, my friends, to become satisfied as a person, let alone a Christian, is to finally come to the conclusion that the movement from self to others is the key movement in discipleship. My focus has to go off me and onto what I can do to bring the gospel and the betterment of mankind to everybody else around me. Now, I speak like one who's a hypocrite because we all fight the battle for this, but nevertheless, that's the way of Jesus. Amen? So I'm not trying to depress you today, I'm just trying to inform you. So we're true to it, because I find this incredibly invigorating. The earliest picture of this, where the battle was fought, was with Joshua, and of course it happened with Moses going over the Red Sea, but Joshua, remember, crossing the Jordan river into the promised land. After 40 years of wandering, wondering whether they're up for it, and finally figuring after 40 years when all the old people had died off and only the young ones who knew no better and were strong would go across, it was only Joshua and Caleb eventually that said it was cool to do so because God had promised something. He had promised the promised land. And what's this to do with baptism? Well, everything really, because it prefigures baptism. You know the story very well about Joshua and Caleb, men of a different spirit. And the spies went in. Remember, they sent spies in. And they came back and says, it's a great land, but we can't take it because the enemy is so great and the people of the land are so tall. And we're like grasshoppers. In other words, their own self-image couldn't handle the challenge, not fully grasping that only on the other side of the river lay the promises of God. Amen. And this is how it is in the Christian life. We hold back because, not because you're a bad person or I am, but because we have a fear of losing our autonomy. And sometimes we even begin to think that if I dedicate them to the Lord, he could take them anytime he wants. But of course, that's misrepresenting the nature of God to think like that, because he doesn't want to take them, he wants to enlarge them. But nevertheless, the devil, the flesh, our own ways, does not want to make the shift. And so I want to just look at the scripture very quickly to enlarge on what's happening here, because we're not just fulfilling a religious obligation when we get baptized. We're not just going through the water so we can write it in the beginning of the Bible. I've got a christening certificate somewhere from the old Presbyterian days, and I found it. I know where it is now. It's got kind of lost. My sister-in-law, who's the keeper of all things in the family, has probably got it. I must ask her. But it's got the date there, and I don't remember it because I was probably about, how many, I don't know, when do you christen babies in the Presbyterian church? Probably about 6 months old or any time from birth to whatever. That's why we dedicate kids. Anyway, that's another story, but the fact is that it was not a personal movement for me. I thank the Lord for parents that wanted to cover me as a young one. That's good. That's not all bad. But it took me years to get to the point of realizing that I needed to make a big shift beyond the religious note in the front of the Bible, the note that this has been done and all is well now. And some people do that. They have their kids christened, or what's the other word we use for it? Sprinkled as a baby, even if they'd never go to church in their lives, because they figure somehow then heaven is secured. Well, I'm not the judge, so only God knows that. But the point is this, my friends, that it's much more than just a symbolic act. There's a spiritual dynamic to baptism that we need to understand. So this is basically what the scripture is telling us. The background of Paul's message to the Romans is they've got saved, they're growing as the church of Jesus Christ, and then they hear about this doctrine of grace. And then they think, well, now I'm under grace. That means I can keep on sinning and do whatever I like because God's grace is with me, which is a misrepresentation of grace. But that was the problem that Paul was addressing. You know, they're now the church of Jesus Christ, but they're declaring, well, I can do anything now. Is that not right? Because I'm under grace. But not realizing, as we do now, that grace is not God's wink at sin. Grace is God's empowering to know his will and to be able to do what he calls us to do. And I got to say, just we keep repeating the theme, that measure of grace, that experience of grace has got to go beyond our heads to our hearts and our reality of living, and that is across the river. The promised land was not on the near side of the Jordan. They had to, by faith, cross a river into a place where there was an enemy to actually know fully, finally, oh, that's what I've been missing. It's the paradox, if you like, of Christian living. We kind of want to have it now so we know whether it's worth following. I've never found it work like that, and the Bible doesn't teach that. We only know by the step of faith. And that's a step that the devil does not want us to take. A step of faith in all things. It's not presumption, it's just purely a determination. And so Paul answers this. He says, well, what are you going to say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may be even more apparent? So if I sin more, God's got more opportunity to show grace. It's kind of a weird argument, isn't it? If I do some more naughty things, then there's more opportunity for forgiveness. The more I mean to you, that gives me a greater, more of an opportunity for you to forgive me. Surely that's got to be good. Not at all. And so that's what Paul is saying. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that there can be more grace? And then it comes quite clearly, doesn't it? Paul says, certainly. What does the word certainly mean? It means certainly. If you were reading it in your language, you'd shout it angrily, wouldn't you? KP. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin? Oh, hello. How shall we who have died to sin continue in it? Oh, I thought I was still alive. Well, we are in a way, but we've got to crucify the flesh. See, a lot of time we spend all sorts of money on therapy to try and tidy up the old nature. And the Bible says crucify it. Kill it. Kill it off. Therefore, or do you not know that as many as you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were also baptized into his death? Now, these are mysterious sayings in a way, but here's the key for today. Were you not baptized into Christ Jesus? So we decide, I will. But there's got to be a greater understanding of what the I will is connected to. Otherwise, I'll just go through the water. But what's on the other side? I will be baptized, understanding that I might go into the water with the old nature, but I come out not just vacantly with it in the beginning of my Bible. I come out because I have by faith connected myself now fully in the life of Jesus Christ. Are you with me today? It is an act of obedience, but it's more than that. It's an act of devotion. It's an act of determination that, you know, whatever it looks like, and I don't know yet fully myself. I've learned a lot of things about life as a Christian and the hard times and the bad times and the good times and the blessing. It's wonderful. The blessings far outweigh everything else. But I have finally come to the realization that the key is that we're not just baptized by going through H2O, water. We're baptized because we're coming into the very life of Jesus. Were you not baptized in the name? So, yes, we're baptized on the authority of, he says so we should. But we're baptized into the very personhood of the name. Capital letters. The name. Mysteriously, God Almighty himself, the second person of the Trinity. We're baptized into the very life of Christ. And if you're baptized into his death, so if we're baptized into Christ, my friends, we must identify with him at the cross. But I'm glad that we didn't stay at the cross, because we're also baptized into the resurrection. And so if it was just the cross and death, then I wouldn't be preaching this to you, because that would depress you. And I'd be dead from depression by now. No, because no crucifixion, no resurrection. It's like that in a lot of things in life, isn't it? Some things have to die. Some people have to lose money before they make it. Some people have to die to their best wishes and their ministry wishes. I had to do this, and the things they think they are due for, and I was one of them, only to find that when I finally give it over to God and I identify in his death and say to Jesus, you alone are enough if nothing else happens, then resurrection comes. It's kind of a mysterious way God deals. You'd think he'd make it a lot easier to fill the churches, wouldn't you? It's not hard to make Christians. It's a bit harder to make disciples. And so that's what's being said here. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. how shall we who died to sin continue in it? It's what you're asking makes no sense, because when we identify with Christ, we die with him. But then we also, in verse 4, read, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, as well as that, we shall walk in newness of life. You see, it's like Joshua crossing the river with the people. The promised land is on the other side. And I know this is kind of like not physicality, it's kind of a spiritual deal. But we all know, those who have made some steps, that the grace of God begins to come upon you in a new way when we take these steps. Galatians 3 and 26 to 29 tells us this: for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ. The word baptism, baptizo, means to be fully whelmed, immersed, not overwhelmed, fully whelmed, totally submerged in Christ. Is your life totally submerged in Jesus Christ? That's the question. And the water is just water, as my old pastor friend up in the northwest of America used to say. If we don't have faith, we go down a dry sinner and we come up a wet sinner. Faith makes a difference. You don't have to be super faith about this, you just need to believe and trust God for a greater gift of faith as we grow. Isn't that right, Pastor Daz? We don't start off Superman or Superwoman. We kind of just keep on following, and Jesus is our strength. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, therefore there is neither Jew nor Greek. We change our whole identity, actually. We become part of the body of Christ. See, if we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into the church. That's why there's no such thing as an individual Christian, really. Our Christianity cannot exist totally singly. Yes, we are a Christian, but we're baptized into the body. That's why we're brothers and sisters. That's a new place to belong, where Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And not only where he is Lord, he is the head, and we are the body. And that makes us all co-equally part of the body of Christ. And that's the mystery of baptism. In many ways, it's a matter of the heart as much as the water. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Filipino nor whoever else there is on the planet. And you shall, do you remember back in chapter 2, I think it was, of Pastor Jami was preaching from, concerning the people that heard Peter's preaching. And they heard the preaching of Peter concerning their role in crucifying Christ, which was not what they thought. And then suddenly they are convicted. So greatly they cry out to Peter, oh, and John, sirs, what must we do to be saved? And he said, it's very easy, repent. Now, repentance isn't just turning away from sin, it's primarily turning toward Jesus. If you turn to Jesus, you will turn away from sin. It's a 180 degree turn, right? Not 360. We've been down that track before. 180 degrees turn for all the mathematicians here. And we turn to face Jesus. That's the essence of repentance. Think differently about Jesus than these people did. They thought he was the problem. Now they've got to change their minds. He's the Savior. And if we turn to Jesus, the evidence will be that we turn from sin. Too many Christians are trying to sweat it out, or people trying to sweat out, trying to be better people, but they never turn to Jesus. It's kind of hard work. It's better than being a bad person, but it's still not the answer. For as many of you who are baptized, for you will receive this enabling. And we remember there in chapter 2, and this is what he said, repent, turn to Jesus, think differently about him, recognize him for who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. One day I'm going to preach from all the names of Christ from the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, from the index, the Anointed Index. It's a wonderful thing to read. I'm going to do it. Is that okay to do that? Even the maps are anointed. That's what I figure. If it's between the pages. But repent and be baptized, yeah? Be fully immersed. He's talking about water baptism. And you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. Now, it takes the Holy Spirit to get us saved. But there's another dimension to the work of the Spirit, the enabling of the Spirit, which we will preach on sometime a bit more, which comes through the act of faith of crossing the river. The people of God back in Joshua's day, they didn't know, they thought they were weak. They had not counted on the strength of God with them. And they took the territory. And that's what it's like by faith to be baptized. But not to be baptized, put it in the book and think I did it because mommy wanted me to do it. But because we have made a decision, it's an act of the will. Will you be baptized? Will you be healed? Will you stand up? And then we just need to trust the fact that life has changed and God will enable us. Amen? The mystery of baptism, we call it in some Christian circles a sacrament, which is, I'm not a Catholic, but I'm just trying to tell you that it's a good word because it means something made sacred for one thing. It also is a means of grace, a sacrament. That's why when we take communion, it's not just a symbol. I don't like using the word symbol much. I'd rather see it for what it is. It's not magic, but it is attended to by the Spirit. God uses these sacraments to do something very dynamic and real within us if we approach it by faith and not just out of habit. Amen? Marriage is a sacrament. Why? Because life changes, and maybe that's a good picture, because Paul said it was in Ephesians, of what it is like to be baptized and part of the church. It's like we're one flesh, we're a new people, and that's what baptism is. It'll bring us into a greater knowledge and understanding and revelation of what it means to be one new people in Christ. Is this too mysterious? It's the mysteries of the kingdom. It's a powerful thing. Because we're people of the Spirit here, my friends. We believe it's not just ordinance. It's not just stuff we do to prove we did it. It's because we believe by these measures we connect with the power and the presence and the enabling of Almighty God. I love it so much. I'm glad I became a Christian and I got baptized. I'm glad I got baptized in the Spirit. I'm glad that I had a revelation and was willing to take some steps. Even though I had to learn that the outcomes don't always come at once. But now, if I was not a saved man, if I had not been baptized, if I hadn't walked this walk, where would I be? Where would you be? Where would we be? We, Virginia and I, we're getting a bit older. We talk about these things a lot. We thank the Lord every day. We thank the Lord every time we get in the car to drive. I told you last time round, my granddaughter, I drove off from her house in a bit of a hurry. She says, "You didn't pray," from your little seat in the back. I had to stop the car, check for traffic, stop, and pray. Then we could move on. I love the way children think. So the enabling of the Spirit, I come to a close. So here's the challenge. We need to move beyond the symbolic act and notion that we have somehow satisfied some religious requirement, thank you, KP, to a deep desire. Friends, any act of ministry, anything we do must carry with it a deep desire for Jesus. We want to read his word and find our affections. Is that the word? Our affections are touched. Something in our heart. Did you ever see the movie, the movie about the crucifixion of Christ? Was it called The Crucifixion? The Passion of the Christ. You know, I'm not here to critique the movie in any way, but the thing that touched me most was at the opening, when it started screening, a scripture from Isaiah came up. My heart leapt. More so than any other part of the movie, to be honest. Because the word, I have a great affection for the word. Not just, I believe the word, but I don't want to believe it coldly or legalistically. It touches my heart. And so baptism, my friends, look for the affection of Christ and how wonderful it is to live in him, whatever the world is doing. A deep desire to enter into a living relationship with him, and baptism is a way into a greater measure. to join our nature with His, and determination to remain there all the days of our lives. When I married my wife, I had to say it, and so did you, until death do us part. And we may go through some things along life's way, but the Word is always within us. Amen? And that's what baptism is. It's like getting married to Jesus. Until death do us part. Well, the thing is, death will never part us. It's a wonderful thing. Aren't you glad you're going to live forever if you believe in Jesus? I think it's a great reward. And so let the affection of our hearts rule us. And understand that baptism must be seen as not something to just give us a better life, but to give us a more fruitful life. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, where do we stand? And I'll pray. Thank you. Just lift up the volume a bit, brother. That's good. I love it. Thank you, Chin. You come and be ready to lead us. And Pastor Dads will probably have something he'd like to do. Why don't I just pray right now? And why don't we lift our hands to the Lord? My job and my task is not to coerce anybody into anything, but to try and bring the truth to bear and to bring a greater understanding beyond just the headlines, as it were, from a behavioral point of view. Because, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak great encouragement over this, your people. Lord, maybe some do need to give their lives to Jesus. Maybe some do need to go through the waters of baptism. And maybe some have to need to stop asking the question, am I ready? When I'm ready? Well, we're never ready in that sense. But Jesus is always ready. Where is the water? That would be our question. Oh, here's some water. But let the affection, Father, I pray right now for the name of Jesus, the name above every other name, touch every heart in this room. Would you just open your heart to the Lord right now and just speak the name of Jesus. Pray, Holy Spirit, reveal the power and the glory of your name to me right now. You know, even if we're baptized, we have to re-engage our affection for the moment, day by day. And that's the secret. We don't have to be baptized again, necessarily, apart from the christening we spoke about, but we need to relive the moment day by day. We get baptized, but then we have determined we will live a baptized life. And we reflect upon that day by day. So I speak, Father, great strength and gracing upon every person here. Lord, let us follow in your way. Let Green Bay Church be such a powerhouse of faith, Father, and of devotion and affection, one for another, for your name. Lord, that nothing can stand in our way and nothing would be a hindrance to any person coming into this place who would be seeking for truth, who would be seeking for life, meaning and hope. Lord, let your name be praised. Let the name be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.